today we're going to be talking about body image. Oh, body image. First, I suppose we should probably go into what does it even mean to have a body image? Because we hear about positive body image and negative body image and distorted body image.
Mm-hmm.
How would you explain those, Kelly?
I think you're a good person to explain that, Danielle. You're the therapist.
Okay. All right. That does make sense. So body image is somebody's opinion and experience of their own body. People's body image is influenced by those around them in that we look at ourselves and we compare ourselves to other people and we decide, am I okay? You know, am I like everybody else or am I different? And is that difference good, bad, acceptable, not acceptable? Our body image is also dependent on the functionality of our body too. So what our body can do. And so if we want to be able to do certain things like run or play a sport or have endurance, kind of do things for a long time, that's also going to affect how we feel about our body. And so positive body image is when people think more highly of their body. They appreciate it. They have gratitude toward it. Negative body image is when somebody doesn't like particular parts of their body and they want to change it in some way. And then distorted body image is when somebody actually sees something different than how they actually are. So everybody else sees them one way, but they might think they're too small or too large when they look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have distorted body image to some degree. And I don't know if you ever saw that TV show, How to Look Good Naked.
No.
I think that's what it was called, with Carson, the guy from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Oh,
and no. After that show, he did a spinoff. I'm pretty sure it was How to Look Good Naked.
Mm-hmm.
And he found women who had not the best body image, or just women, actually. I mean, there was no qualifying statements, but it was just women. And he interviewed them and spent like a week with them and beginning of how they felt about their body. And then he worked with them on clothing and grooming and then just building them up personally. And by the end of the week, their body image had drastically changed.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of the week, they all had a life-size billboard of them in their bra and underwear.
Wow.
And at the beginning of the week, they would have never been able to do it, but at the end of the week, they could. And then they interviewed people on the street. What do you think of that billboard? And everybody usually had really positive things to say about it. But in every single case, they had a panel of women in their bra and underwear of all different shapes and sizes, sort of like that graph we see, which we'll probably talk about a little bit, from a small woman into a bigger woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked the woman, where are you? Where do you fit in mm-hmm. this range of people? And every single woman, no matter what body image they started with at the beginning, they all saw themselves about two sizes larger than they actually were.
Wow.
It was a great show.
So you would say that most women have the distortion in that they think they're larger than they actually are.
I think a lot of women do. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to say most, but mm-hmm. I think a lot of women do, and especially a lot of the clients that mm-hmm. we see do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think a lot of women mm-hmm. do, or unhappy with themselves.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you say that body image is influenced by what our bodies can do,
mm-hmm.
because I wouldn't normally think of that, and I don't know how many people would think of that when they're judging themselves or how they look. Mm-hmm. I don't know how often they would use what my body can do for me. I know that that's a goal and we work with our clients, especially mm-hmm. on getting to that, but I would not have thought that.
Well, if you think about somebody who is physically disabled and maybe is in a wheelchair or their body is disfigured in some way, or they, were born with something or an accident happened, they do usually have a change in their body image after, let's say there was an accident, mm-hmm. if their body's changed in some way, or if they're born with something different and everybody else can walk and run and do these certain things, they might really have a strong dislike for their body
okay.
because it limits them.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't think it necessarily, it's one of those things where people might not realize they have it till they lose it kind mm-hmm. of thing. And so it doesn't lead people to have positive body image just because their body can do most things.
Okay.
But if somebody's in a position where they have a limitation, then it might affect how they do feel about their body.
Okay. So how do you think body image develops? Do you want to talk about our stories about, just from our own personal experience?
Sure.
With body image?
Yeah. I think my story is more unique. I kind of have, a story where when I tell it, you know, people are usually surprised. So should we start with mine or yours?
It's up to you. It's uh-huh. personal. It's really personal to share your story about your body image.
Right.
Well, I think that, no, I don't think, I really believe and know that our perception of ourselves is influenced by, what we're around. Mm-hmm. So starts at a very young age growing up. And, my mother, sorry, Mom, if you don't want people to know this, but my mother was critical of her own body. And mm-hmm. I mean, she was a normal body weight for most of the time when I was growing up, but she was always really critical of herself. And I think that, my dad might've also chimed in on that from time to time, but I remember her being on diets and criticizing different parts of her body. And, when I was little, I didn't think anything of it, but around the time of puberty, where a lot of girls start paying attention to their body, I do remember being really concerned about my size. And I was always extremely thin when I was younger, but I remember probably from puberty on not being that happy about my body and wishing I could change the shape of it or not be curvy or weigh less. And I think that those are things that I picked up probably from my family. And it wasn't until I got into the eating disorder field that I started to think about other ways to view my body and to appreciate my body. And luckily I did that work before my body started changing, because I think it would have been really hard for me to accept changes in my body mm-hmm. if I hadn't done that. I mean, it's hard enough to accept them, but thank goodness I had already done that work. Mm-hmm. So I really do think that it's affected by the people that were around. And I still do have friends and family members who criticize their body a lot. And it's mm-hmm. easy to get sucked into that and then be in that mindset. And I'm not going to say that I don't do it, because I do it still. Mm-hmm. But it's not the way that it used to be, probably. And my sister and I have talked about that, like how we come up with, you know, our body images or what we think about ourselves. And it's very interesting, because I have a friend she's beautiful. And she's tall, and, you know, she's probably what a lot of people would want to look like. And she really likes herself, and she has a really positive body image. But as I got to know her better, she had this hang up about the size of her feet. And I was just like, this is so weird. Why do you care what size your feet are? Like, of everything that there is to worry about, the size of your feet, this is kind of silly. And as it turns out, her mother had big feet, and she would complain about the size of her feet all the time. And her aunts had big feet, and they would complain about the size of their feet. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, that's just what she was raised around. And so that's what she adopted.
Wow.
And she didn't have really large feet. I mean, she's like 5'9 or 5'10, and her feet are a size 9 or something. So they're completely normal,
mm-hmm.
but it was something that she really worried about. So
wow.
I think it comes from our surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell my sister, she has two little girls, please don't talk about being fat or this or that or the mm-hmm. other in front of your daughters, because, you know, they're going to absorb that. And that's
right.
the body image that they're going to have.
Right.
Likely. Mm-hmm. But I think your story is a little bit different. So,
yes. I mean, my mom also was always trying to lose weight when I was growing up. It mainly actually came about after she had some surgery, some medical things that came up and some medication she had to take that led her to gain weight. And since for most of her life she'd had been average size, these changes were really upsetting to her. So she tried a lot of diets. She tried the Jenny Craig and do that off and on. And And what I'm the oldest of three girls, and what I really remember is my mom not eating with us, you know, having to have a different meal, and then me having to get food for my sisters, or my dad would get food for us. But it seemed, I probably at the time didn't think of it this way, but looking back, it does seem kind of isolating. It set her apart from us. And I also saw that she wasn't happy. Like, she never, ever got to a weight that she liked and mm-hmm. accepted. It set her apart from us. And I also saw that she wasn't happy. Like, she never, ever got to a weight that she liked mm-hmm. and accepted. And that she liked and accepted. And so I was really confused. This was probably, I was like 9, 10, 11, 12. This is all starting to get going. I didn't understand why she would go on all of these diets. And she was probably definitely a yo-yo dieter. So off and on, off and on. And typically also blaming of herself when it wasn't successful. And I also was a swimmer. I started swimming when I was 6 years old and swam almost every day. And so I was in a swimsuit all the time. And I don't know if I was just around really good people or not, but, you know, I wasn't in a group that put down our bodies. It was, you know, our body was what made us good swimmers. And I was just used to being in a swimsuit. It wasn't a critical thing. It just mm-hmm. kind of was. And maybe because I started so young, because, you know, most 6 year olds aren't really thinking about what they look like in a suit.
Right.
Those two big pieces. Then the other actually big piece was I didn't really think that your body was that much in your control to change. I realized dieting could make you lose weight, but in my mind, what I was seeing was that, well, then you just gain that weight back anyways. And so it didn't really seem like anything you could drastically change permanently. Mm-hmm. And so I never really thought about changing my body. And I never like particularly liked it. I was never like, oh, I have this amazing body, but I didn't put it down either. Uh-huh. It was just there. I mean, it was just like my height, you know, my height was kind of a given. Or my feet size, you know, my feet size was a given, you know, my eye color or, you know, all these other kind of features, like it just was. Mm-hmm. And so then I got to college and coming to San Diego, where I'm really more active and outside a lot. And, I got here and I was fine with everything, but I started to hear from my friends and peers, just how uncomfortable they felt, you know, with, you know, being in a bathing suit and seeing so many thin people out and about. And, I didn't really understand or think that, again, there was much I could do about my own body. And so, today I'd say I have more positive body image just because I've learned a lot and I know it's okay now to actually like your body. but I still find, you know, people saying that, well, everybody, you know, has something they want to change or, mm-hmm. you know, everybody wants to lose at least all women, I should say, want to lose 5 pounds, you mm-hmm. know, nobody's really ever happy with their weight. And I usually don't say anything because uh-huh. I feel really uncomfortable saying uh-huh. that. No, I'm okay. You know, like my body has changed since high school and has changed since college, but it all makes sense. I mean, I used to be an athlete and mm-hmm. I'm not anymore. So, you know, my body changing is normal to me. I shouldn't look like I did in college. I mean, that would be really weird. Right. And I think that's true for a lot of people too, is their bodies are naturally changing, you know, given, you know, medical or mental health things going on, but they feel responsible for it mm-hmm. and they feel like they should look the same way they did at particular points in their life. And then they do sometimes extreme things to get there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's sad that we have a culture where you have to feel bad for being okay with your body, for having positive body image. And you don't want to speak up and say, oh, I'm fine the way I am.
Yeah. I do feel uncomfortable. I feel like people like doubt me that, uh-huh. well, yeah, right, Danielle, you know, uh-huh. sure, that's what you're saying. But I'm like, well, I don't. I mean, I guess when I was very little, I actually did have a thing about my freckles. And that's because I was teased about them mm-hmm. in elementary school. Mm-hmm. But But that was, but that kind of faded. I realized that was one bully, and, you know, and the ironic thing was that he was covered with freckles. So I didn't realize that until I was a little bit older. Wait a second. But yeah, I mean, for most of my life, I've, at least with my size and shape, it's just kind of, it is what it is.
Yeah. And I wish that I had learned that early on. I guess I just didn't realize it. But after I went to school and I started working in the field and studying more about body image, it was really enlightening to me to learn that, you know, 60 to 80% of our shape and size is genetically predetermined. Mm-hmm. And we only have about 20% control over it with our behaviors. And so, you know, that's sort of freeing to think about that. Yeah. And we don't really think about, well, my eyes are green and I wish they were brown. Or, you know, I wish my feet were smaller, most of us. Right. You know, but we do really try to think about fitting our bodies into a different shape than they than they're supposed to be.
Right. Well, and I think the message in society is that you can change this, you know, over and over and over and over again. So, you know, people aren't hearing messages about changing the parts that they can't change or that are kind of more, you know, extreme to change. And so people start to believe that, you know, they can and they should. Right.
Yeah. And it's much more acceptable to talk about the things we dislike about ourselves than the things that we like about ourselves.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it comes back to fat talk in a way that, you know, the, so fat talk is, it's essentially saying comments like, I'm so fat, or do I look fat in these pants? My thighs are big, you know, that kind of stuff. And, women especially freely talk like that with each other. And it can even be a bonding conversation with each other, that it's, you know, inclusion, you know, if you put down your body in some way, you can be part of the group. There's a clip in Mean Girls. Have you ever seen Mean Girls?
I saw it a long time ago.
And there's this scene where, I always tell this story in my class too, when I'm talking about the body image lecture, because I feel like it just so clearly shows what does happen. And so the popular girls are all together and they're putting down like their stomach and their thighs and different things. And then the new girl who's wants new friend, you know, wants to be friends with them and be part of the group, she's kind of off to the side, and they look to her, and she actually had grown up in Africa. And she had just moved to the area, and I forget where it is, but somewhere in the United States. And they look to her and she says, I have bad breath. And so she doesn't really know, like, to her it's so foreign to put down your body. And it, she just didn't know what to say. And they were kind of like, what? You know? So I think it really, it is exemplify, you know, that inclusion if you do this type of fat talk. And, you know, kind of what you were just saying, we don't really have, you know, any kind of talk around accepting ourselves. We don't get into conversations about, oh, what do you like about yourself, Kelly? What do you want to never change? You know, we don't do that. I mean, it's funny.
We don't go into work saying, I feel so pretty today. Look how nice my hair looks.
Because you would be judged. If you did that, you would be. I mean, unfortunately.
I have such a beautiful smile. I am so fit. We don't do things like that.
No. No. I mean, and it's sad that if you feel that way, then you have these negative kind of, you know, judgments that you're stuck up. You're full of yourself.
Yeah, and not only do we not say those positive things about ourselves, but then often when people receive a compliment, they are self-deprecating. Oh, no. And they have to poo-poo it somehow instead of just appreciating it. Even a compliment we can't accept.
Yeah, that's really sad that with compliments, it is hard to, you know, take those in. I mean, even for me, like when I'm complimented, it's kind of like, oh, thanks, you know, but I'm just like, I'm uncomfortable with it. Like, okay, like what's the appropriate response here? Am I supposed to deny it? Am I supposed to compliment them right back? You know, it's just, it doesn't.
Except I'm opposite of that, because it's funny that I was raised, not that my parents wanted me to have a negative body image, but I mean, that was something more that I was familiar with, like, oh, my weight, this, that. But as far as compliments go, my grandpa always used to tell us, like, how to accept compliments. And if somebody said something nice to us, he was really silly. And he'd be like, I know. Like, that's a good response. But to just accept them graciously. And I have a quote that I keep, and it says, every time someone compliments you, it's like spirit whispered in your ear or something like that. It's just mm-hmm. a really nice thing about accepting compliments graciously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you accept them graciously?
Well, I just say thank you.
Oh, okay.
And I don't feel weird and I don't feel uncomfortable. And I'm just like, thank you. And I absorb it.
Oh, I'm going to try that. I'm going to do that. Because I think I just make it awkward because I'm like fumbling around like, what do I say?
Yeah.
I guess it depends who's giving me the compliment too. Like if it's friends or like family, then I know them. But like, especially if like it's a newer person, I'm just starting to know, then it's like, ooh, what kind of response were they looking for? Because I don't know.
I don't think that people give out compliments freely as they should. So mm-hmm. I think when they're giving you one, they really mean it.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. And they want you to absorb it, just like you were saying. Yeah. With the fat talk piece, the other things that come up are the words that people will use to talk about their body. Mm-hmm. For a while you would hear about thunder thighs mm-hmm. and that was in reference to the sound that particularly women's thighs, a lot of this is focused on women's bodies. The sound that women's thighs would make when they walked and they would mm-hmm. hit together. And more currently, you hear a lot about the thigh gap.
Right.
And that's kind of it's still along this line of, you know, thunder thighs, except it's just more going into what the desired look is mm-hmm. to have some space between your thighs.
Which is really abnormal for women right. to have that. That's not a normal body shape.
Would you say for all women or for maybe more Caucasian, like Western women or...
I don't know.
So I think, yeah, so maybe your like somebody's ethnic background could play a role into what's more mm-hmm. normal or typical for their body shape. Mm-hmm. I think that it's incorrect to say that all women can have a thigh gap because uh-huh. in that sense, that's not possible for right. all women to actually have a body that allows them to have that type yeah. of shape.
Yeah. And then we have muffin tops, love handles, man boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Beer bellies. Yeah. Cankles.
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
There are so many awful things ooh. That we say about our bodies.
Yeah.
And that's just accepted. And so fat talk is really just the language that we use and is not universal, but that we all know. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we say muffin top, we know what we're talking about. If we right. say man boobs, we know what we're talking about.
Right.
You know, it's very widely used right. and accepted.
Yeah. And it's sad. I mean, because usually it is. It's about, you know, maybe saying it about somebody else in judgment, you know, toward their body, mm-hmm. and even sometimes bullying somebody with mm-hmm. those type of terms.
Mm-hmm. Double chins, you name it, they're out there. And yet we don't have that many descriptions for positive body image terms, really.
Well, that's yeah. true.
And so these yeah. things all contribute to an overall negative sense of mm-hmm. your body image
mm-hmm.
and trying to live up to this expectation that may or may not be attainable
right.
for some people.
Right. So we have it coming through, you know, maybe the families you grow up in, the communities you grow up in. We have it coming through language mm-hmm. and then media.
Media. Yeah. Right. What do you think about media? We were talking before we got started about clothing sizes in stores. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know if that would be media, but that is something that shapes our image of ourselves, mm-hmm. you know? And back in the day, I don't know when, but probably 60s or earlier, most people made their own clothes. They didn't go to the store to shop for a clothing size. They just got their fabric and they made the clothes to fit their body. Right. And now there's such a big thing about, oh, I have to be less than a zero. I have to be a double zero or a two right. or a four right. or something like that. And so people are really focused on that.
Well, I think with numbers in general, we tend to give it a lot of meaning, just like weight. Mm-hmm. We also, you know, people give a lot of value to their weight. And so when somebody has a particular size, and it's different when they go back to that store or to a different store, especially if it's getting larger, they tend to put themselves down and blame themselves for their body mm-hmm. size changing, which may or may not be true. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you know, there's, the New York Times actually, a little while ago, did an article about this where they posted an image of the side of a size 8. And so it's the side of a woman, waist size 8. And then they graphed all the different stores that market their clothing as size 8. And there was so much variability. It was, you know, several inches that this was spanning across. And even within Gap, Banana Republic, and Old Navy, who are owned by the same company, there was a large disparity between what they were marketing as a size 8. Mm-hmm. And men's pant size too, same thing. A 36-inch waist was actually not even 36 inches. It was typically, the waist size was actually larger, but they were marketing it as 36 inches. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, some, there could potentially even be some strategy there. So wanting to draw people into their store, you know, people might want to go to the store where they have the desirable size.
Right.
But I guess there's other things going on.
And typically higher end stores, the sizes would be smaller.
Right.
You know, like if you fit into a size 8 at this, you know, box store, mm-hmm. you might not fit into a size 8 at the high end store right. because the size 8 would be much smaller.
Right.
Yeah. I was actually at a conference years ago with a model, a very famous model, and she was talking about body image, and she explained to us this thing about fit models or print models. And so print models are people that are being photographed for magazine covers or newspapers or any sort of print media. Mm. And then fit models are the models that they actually use when they're designing the clothes. Mm-hmm. They're the models that the clothes are fit on. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, you know, X store might have a fit model who is a very straight up and down figure. She has no curves and she's a size 2. Mm-hmm. But then Y store might have a size 2 fit model who's very curvy. And so if you go into this one store, you're going to fit into their size 2 if you're straight up and down. If you go into this other store, you're not going to fit into their size 2 if you're straight up and down, and vice versa. And then they take that fit model's clothes and they just increase it for the 4, for the 6, for the 8, for the 10, on and on and on. It's not really proportionately increased. It's just increased based on this one fit model. And then if that fit model quits or she's only used for one season, now you might go back to this store that used to have a really straight up and down size 2 fit model, and now they have a really curvy fit model. And so now you go in to buy clothes this year and none of them fit you, mm-hmm. even though you haven't changed sizes. Mm-hmm. But it's because their fit model, the person that they were basing their clothing off of, has changed. And so people don't really know that. That was really fascinating to me from somebody in the industry sharing that with us.
Yeah, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Did she mention why they would do that? Why not just stick with a mannequin? Like, why would go with an actual person to fit clothes
on? She didn't say, actually. They used to use clothes horses. So if you've ever seen those mannequin bodies in sewing stores, when people used to make their clothes more often, they would use what's called clothes horses, and they could make them bigger or smaller and change the dimensions and then just fit the clothes off of that. But now they use real models. So I'm not sure why, but it was fascinating. Wow. But that could definitely trigger your body image. You know, you're a size 8 and your whole life you've been a size 8. And then all of a sudden you walk into the store and you're trying on size 8 and nothing fits you. Mm-hmm. And then you immediately think something's wrong with me mm-hmm. because I'm not fitting into this standard size 8 that I've always fit into.
Right.
That could trigger a lot of body hatred. Right.
Oh yeah. I mean, I would imagine that majority of people would definitely blame themselves because you don't think to blame the store mm-hmm. For something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. What other things about media would you say influence?
Well, we'll probably talk about this many times, but just how we continually see the same body types in media, you don't really see any size diversity. And so, you know, for women, it tends to be somebody who's thin, fit. For men, tends to be toned, muscular. Although there is more men who are larger in media than women, there tends to be more acceptance of that. But they're especially in magazines, billboards, more like more modeling. You tend to see the fit, mm-hmm. muscular body type for men over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And as I was saying earlier, when I was talking about what body image is, I mean, it is influenced by what is going on around us and what we see. And you know, seeing that same body type over and over and over again, you start to think that, you know, you're supposed to look like that. And if you don't, that there is something wrong.
Right.
I was in Portugal a couple of years ago, and they had, apparently it was a new campaign for lingerie, and there were these billboards all over Lisbon, and they had young women, it was about five of them grouped together, and they were just, you know, all over the place. It was, you know, everywhere. And I was kind of surprised by it because they were showing a lot of their body. They were very thin and they had very large chests. And what I heard from my friends who live in Lisbon was that the community was really upset about these billboards and that people were coming together. They were writing letters. They were refusing to go to that store. And they were trying to get them taken down.
Wow.
And the argument was, that's not what Portuguese women look like.
Wow.
That's not us.
Uh-huh.
You know, why are you doing this, you know? And so I was just really amazed by that, that they were, you know, so offended by seeing this all around their city that people were doing something about it. Mm-hmm. And because that's not what Portuguese women's shape looks like. Not the average, you know, Portuguese woman. So,
right. So they're speaking back to mm-hmm. the media, which mm-hmm. I think we should talk about at some point too.
Yeah. I mean, that's, people can do it, but we don't, you know, mm-hmm. we do see situations here and there where people will, you know, speak up. There was a really big argument, or there was a really big uproar with that Ralph Lauren ad that was over photoshopped yes. a couple of years ago. So people were upset by that. But it also, I mean, that's the thing with some of these responses, it actually gives the company more attention
right.
and more, you know, free press. And so,
or what about the big thing this year with the head of that clothing company? And I can't remember who it was, but he said, I don't make sizes extra large because I don't want that kind of person.
Oh, it's talking about Amber Crombie
store.
And Fitch.
Was it?
Yeah, Amber Crombie and Fitch.
Yeah, he yeah. came right out there and yeah. said.
He actually said it several years ago. It just it just went viral recently. It was just, you know, somebody found it in an interview he did.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he did reiterate that their clothes are for beautiful people, so mm-hmm. they only want beautiful people,
and
know,
therefore only beautiful people are below a size large.
Right. Yeah.
That no one yeah. could be an extra large and be beautiful.
Yeah.
And where does that leave the person who is 6'1"? You know, a woman that's 6'1",
mm-hmm.
she's not fitting in a size small
mm-hmm.
or medium, you
right,
know?
Right.
And she might be thin,
mm-hmm.
but she's just a larger person.
Right. Well, and then the woman who is, you know, shorter and larger too. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. It's definitely weightism, which mm-hmm. we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fortunately there was a strong response to him, but it was years and years delayed.
That's interesting. I didn't
yeah.
realize that.
Yeah.
You know, I will give a positive shout out to a store, ModCloth.
Oh, yeah.
One of my clients brought in a catalog to me, and she was so excited because they have models of all shapes and sizes in that one catalog. My client is thin. She was just so excited to see for other people that, you know, wow, there's everything in this catalog.
Right.
So some people are doing the right thing.
So other forms of media, I think we see influences on body image are social media.
Mm-hmm.
And so Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Tumblr, a lot of the ones where people can post images. And I think, you know, with a lot of these sites, it's hard for some to remember that people are really posting they're at the best photo of them,
right.
you know, or the best day,
right.
you know, all the good experiences that they're having. And so if someone goes on there and they're just seeing how everyone else is having this good life, these good photos, you know, potentially the ideal body over and over and over and over again. But, mm-hmm. you know, other people might not, you know, if you're having a bad day, you know, or you feel like a picture is not very flattering of you, most people aren't going to end up posting that.
Yeah, or if your friends post it, you tell them to take it off.
Yes.
And they do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think that also is another influencing factor that, you know, everywhere somebody looks, they're, again, seeing a particular look, a particular shape over and over. And we really don't see media with larger body sizes. Mm-hmm. And if we do, it always comes back. It seems to frequently come back to health. Mm-hmm. So you see a large body size and it's in an ad for medication or promoting a diet of some kind. It's not somebody just living their life.
Right.
And
yes,
we don't see that.
And you know, for people who are particularly susceptible to negative body image, you know, for our clients, sometimes we recommend that they get off of social media altogether. Mm-hmm. Because they're just traumatizing themselves all day long, right, looking at these images and not measuring up or not thinking that they measure up.
Yeah, I haven't had TV for, I think, eight years now. I haven't had TV. So I should say I do, you know, still watch shows. You know, I have Netflix. Uh-huh. But I haven't seen commercials for mm-hmm. quite a long time. And I don't ever usually watch things that are just on, so I'll watch it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm really deliberate about what I end up watching. And with radio, I skip the ads or I listen to my own music. So, I have an ad blocker on my, you know, web browser. And so every now and then when I am somewhere and there's a TV on or commercials are going, I'm really surprised with what's on mm-hmm. TV and, you know, what is being shown. And, I mean, it's in TV shows and movies as well, but, you know, with commercials still, like, even products that are out there for improving the body in some way, it's just shocking because I go so long without seeing it. And I really like it that way. I mm-hmm. mean, I prefer it. I mean, I'm still getting exposed to so many ads with billboards and buses and, you know, it just everything that you pass by in your normal everyday life.
And there have been study after study after study looking at people's body image and how mm-hmm. it is affected by media. Mm-hmm. So they'll have people, how's your body image? And they'll rate it. And then they'll have them sit down and look through fashion magazines or watch television and then re-rate it afterwards. And it always takes a nosedive. Yeah. So we're just consuming those things. Sometimes unconsciously, like billboards right. that we drive by, we don't even know. But then if we're actively engaging in right. watching television, watching advertisements, commercials, you know, we're consuming a lot of things that are detrimental
right.
to the way that we feel.
Yeah. And actually one of the things I did with my little sister when I was starting to learn about all of this in college, cause she's 11 years younger than me. And so she was reading 17 YM. And so when I was home on breaks, I would look over them with her. I'm like, oh, well, let's flip through your 17 magazine. Because mm-hmm. I couldn't be like, don't read it. You know?
Right.
And I would just ask her critical questions to critique what she was reading about. And mm-hmm. so, well, you know, what do you think this ad is actually saying? Isn't that interesting that, you know, this ad is for like watches, but there's no watches in the ad? You know, or
right.
how did they just get your attention right there? Yeah, that woman's not wearing very much clothing, is she? Mm-hmm. You know, and so, or the articles that, you know, would be in those magazines, a lot of them weight loss, you know, improve yourself to get mm-hmm. the guy.
Even 17 magazine, I've written letters to 17 before. Oh, I don't know if I should say that specifically, but teen magazines that are talking to teenage girls about going on diets, and they're mm-hmm. like these 1200 calorie starvation diets for teenagers. And mm-hmm. every medical professional knows or should know that it's not appropriate to put a child on a diet.
Mm-hmm.
And yet these magazines are telling them exactly how to do it. I've had patients come in, where did your eating disorder start? When I started going on this diet that I read in this magazine, I'll write them letters and tell them what I think about that.
Right.
And when we, my first office, we had these big rolls of stickers and we would hand them out to our clients to encourage being critical viewers of the media. And they would say, this promotes hatred of women or this promotes negative body image. And we would just have them slap it in anything that they were looking at that wasn't making them feel good or that was sending a negative message.
Oh, that's awesome.
They were great. They were great
Where
stickers.
Where did those come from?
I don't know. We had them at Oak Knoll when I started practicing.
Wow.
Dr. Joe got them somewhere.
I'm going to have to look into
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they were good ones. They were good ones.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, music videos are another place where you see a lot of, again, that same body type. But then now there's, you know, lyrics, there's messages involved. I actually just watched Britney Spears' new music video. It's called Work. Work It, B word.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics are all about, you know, you essentially you got to, you know, work out and you know, do what you need to do if you're going to have money, if mm-hmm. you're going to have these fancy cars, if you're going to live in a mansion, you know, if you want to be this special, spectacular person, you have to work it. Mm-hmm. And so, but, you know, otherwise you're not going to have those things is essentially what it, that's the message I got from it. And it was all, you know, very thin people mm-hmm. in the music video.
And I think that people are just walking through the world so blind, and that it's just in our face every day that we don't pay attention. But if you start to pay attention to what's going on out there and what they're trying to do to sell us products and to sell diet products and to sell dissatisfaction, I think that that's one way that you can really turn around your body image, because you're starting to become aware and you're not just blindly going. And, you know, being critical consumers and critical viewers. Mm-hmm. And I choose what I read and look at, because I don't want to feel bad. You know, I don't want those messages coming into me. I don't read gossip magazines. I also don't have television. I do watch Netflix or movies, but I don't watch the news. And that doesn't have anything to do with body image, but it's just, I don't like the news stories I hear. They don't make me feel good. And I don't want to consume things that make me feel bad. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with things that would be affecting my body image.
Yeah. I like how you said selling dissatisfaction, because that's really what's going on, because nobody actually profits or wins from dissatisfaction except the companies that mm-hmm. are actually putting all of this media and advertising out there. Mm-hmm. You know, they create the problem and then they have the solution, and mm-hmm. people, you know, might buy it. And so it's, it reminds me of, the cellulite that, I mean, it's probably still somewhat of an issue for a lot of women, but it was, seemed like earlier on, like 10 years ago, it was becoming more of a problem area, when really cellulite happens to 90% of prepubescent women. So mm-hmm. it's a natural part of the body, of the mm-hmm. female body, but it became seen as undesirable, unattractive, and women need to get rid of it. Well, then there was a slew of products that came out that in the end, none of them ever actually proved that they were able to get rid of cellulite. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of people profiting from women not liking the cellulite on their body.
And again, that's a genetic thing. You know, there are going to be very, very, very thin people who are covered in cellulite. And then there are going to be very large people that don't have any, because it's genetic. Mm. It's very much genetic.
Yeah. So what are some ways that we can improve body image and potentially even prevent negative body image?
I think, you know, I think a couple things for me. Number one, I think, is what I choose to consume, mm-hmm. As far as the media and the things that I buy into. Or that I spend my money on. I think having learned what the industry is trying to sell us, I think that that made a huge difference in my own body image. Knowing that genetics plays a huge role and we kind of have what we have, I think that that's really a big one for me. And then changing negatives into positives. And so it's really my trigger point therapist. We had the funniest conversation today. I love him. He's so amazing. And so we were talking about negativity, and he was like, you know, we're all a little crazy. And this is kind of off topic, but he said, you know, when we're walking down the street and we see a homeless person and they're sitting there saying like all these crazy things, they're just talking crazy at no one, you know, he's like, we're doing that in our heads. We're doing that same thing in our heads, but we just have a filter that doesn't allow it to come out. And if you think about it, this negative body image talk that just can go on constantly in your head and you don't even know it. And I know that I personally have had days like that where I've gotten up and it's just like, you know, I start at the top and I don't finish until I get to the bottom. Like, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. And then when I started learning more about improving my body image, it was like, wait, no, I'm going to turn this into a positive. I'm not going to engage in this negative self-talk. I'm turning this all into positive. So every time I would say something negative in my head, then I would say something positive back to myself. Yeah. And I will have my clients do that, because I think it's really important. Mm-hmm. I'll also have my clients, which is very difficult if they're really sick, make a list of 5 things that they love about their body. sometimes they can't even come up with five. Mm-hmm. So if they can't come up with five, then I'll have them come up with five things that they just love about themselves. It could be their person as a whole, their personality. And then every time, every day, several times a day, they have to go through this list and say these things out loud to themselves in a mirror. Or if they're having negative self-talk in their mind, then they'll have to use the positive self-talk that they have written on a card. Mm-hmm. And besides just having the positive affirmations, also having something to back it up. So if I'm telling my client, you know, what's your positive one? And they say, I have beautiful eyes, but they don't really believe it, then just telling themselves that over and over isn't necessarily going to help. So like, what's the evidence for that? Well, the evidence for it is that almost every single person I meet tells me I have beautiful eyes. And so therefore it must be true, even if I can't see it. Mm-hmm. So I really like to use positive affirmations.
I do something similar to that when they're saying a positive affirmation they don't agree with. I like that evidence to support it. Something else I do is have them say a statement that is more true to them. So I'm starting to believe I have beautiful eyes. You know, I've one day I know I can accept my body. So it's a statement that's true in that moment that they, but it's definitely a step up from body hatred or not saying something at all about their body that is, has a positive element to it.
Yeah. And I think that once we start to become aware of what's going on, then it can really change for us. Because I think that so many people out there are just, it's so pervasive, this fat talk, this negative self-image, it's just everywhere that people don't even realize it's going on. And so just illuminating this to them that actually, hey, this is what's happening and there could be a positive side to this. I think that that starts to change body image. And I was at a conference where the lady, it was all about body image, and she had us write on a piece of paper like one flaw that we criticize ourselves for, and it could have been, you know, a personality flaw or a physical flaw. We had to write it on a piece of paper. And then we had to tape it to ourselves. And then we had to go around the room and introduce ourselves to everyone like, hello, I am fat ass, or hello, I am stupid, or hello, I am this. And you had to do this, and it was really humiliating, and you would not want to say that out loud. Well, sometimes we do, but we do it all the time in our head. Mm-hmm. And so just becoming aware, I think, is really important.
The other piece is seeing the body as a whole being. And so when looking at men and women, they find actually women do this slightly more than men, and they piecemeal their body. And so they take a particular part and tear it apart, you know, like the stomach or the thighs. And so they're seeing themselves in sections and parts, while men see their whole body altogether, the functionality of their whole body, slightly more so than women do, which is interesting. And I think also comes back to culture. A lot of, again, media, you see parts of women in, you know, just their legs or, you know, just an arm or just the side of their body and so on. So seeing yourself as a whole being, I think, can also make a difference in how people are viewing themselves. Mm-hmm. Also, being around other positive people, you were talking about, you know, that the negativity piece. And so not only surrounding yourself with the messages that you want to hear, but the people that you want to be around as well. And that's one thing I feel very fortunate for, is that, you know, my group of friends now are, and for a long time, are all very positive people. They're, I mean, they're amazing. And, I mean, maybe it's because I'm in the group and they don't want to bring it up when I'm around, but I think they really do feel that way. But they don't fat talk, they don't put down themselves. You know, they really see value in who they are. And I mean, you know, there's a contagious element there, you know, when you're around people who are like that.
Definitely.
And another idea is wearing clothes that are comfortable. And so, you know, going back to the sizes, you know, sometimes people will stay in a particular size because that was their size, even if it doesn't feel good to them. Mm-hmm. There's the whole concept of the skinny jeans and saving them for a time when maybe you'll fit into them again. And it's not referring to the style skinny jeans. You know, these are jeans that people were able to fit into when they were a smaller size physically. But actually, I mean, they keep people from accepting their size as it is in the present moment. Mm-hmm. And then if you do end up, you know, again, wearing clothing that doesn't fit or it's uncomfortable, it's, you're not going to feel good about yourself. I mean, it's just, you're in pain, right. You know? And so it's allowing yourself to wear things for your body as it is that day.
Right.
So today we covered a range of body image topics and looked at ways of improving body image, a little bit about maybe even preventing some negative body image in the future. If you have any questions or follow-up ideas from today's episode, please feel free to contact us through our website, savorpodcast.com.
And this week, try to savor positive body thoughts.